We're doing the book of Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 18th chapter, the third pasuk. And the Navi is describing the return of Israel to the land of Israel. And the Navi says, Kol yoshevei tevel v'shochenei haaretz, all the people, the inhabitants of land, kinsonei sarim tiru v'chitko ha-shofar tishmahu. Everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to see how Israel comes back to the land of Israel. It's going to be as though a huge banner was waved atop the mountains. It's going to be as though a huge trumpet was blasted throughout the lands. Everyone's going to see it. Everyone's going to hear about it. Ki cho amar Adonai elai eshkota v'abita v'imchoni. Because this is what God said to me. God said, for Zion, I will not be silent. I'm going to wait until the righteousness of Zion comes out. And that's why when the righteousness comes out, so then, Eshkota v'abita v'imchoni, then I will be calm, so to speak, and I will look at my home. This is a reference to what the prophet's going to say at the end of the book. Hashem says, Leman Zion lo echerash, for Zion I will not be silent. Ad yetzecha noga tzidka, I will fight until the righteousness of Zion shines forth. So at the end of the book, in the prophecies of appeasement, God describes how he's going to fight until Zion is reinstated. And here the Navi is describing how eshkota, I will be able to be silent, so to speak, to calm down, because v'abita v'imchoni, I will look at my temple that's been rebuilt, I will look at my home, kechom tzach aleor, just like the heat that's clear, that it's coming for good, ke'av tal bechom katzir, when you have rain, and after the rain, the sun shines. So then you know that the ground absorbed the rain that it needed, and now the sun is shining on the plants to help them grow. So kechom tzach aleor, just like the sun shines after the or. What is or? So we know that or is light, but or is also rain. In Tanakh, the word or can also mean rain. So, kechom tzach, you find it in the book of Job. It says, yafitz anan oro, the cloud will scatter its light. How does the cloud scatter its light? So, one interpretation is that, yes, the prism effect, as the sun goes through the cloud, so it scatters the light. But the commentaries understood that the word or could also mean the light of the cloud, so to speak, what the cloud shines onto the world, which is its rain. So kechom tzach aleor, just as the clear heat, the shining of the heat after the rain, ke'av tal biyom katzir, ke'av tal, just like the cloud carrying rain. On chom katzir, when there's tremendous heat, like at the time of harvest, so when there's so much heat, everyone's waiting to be cooled off a bit, and that's the ke'av tal b'chom katzir, like the cloud that carries a respite from the heat at the time of the harvest. Now, the term tal ordinarily means dew. And that's why, that's because the pasuk is contending with the difficulty. Ordinarily, we find in the book of Mishlei, it says, Kitzinat sheleg biyom katzir, like the cool of snow on a day of harvest. You're in the heat of the summer, you're in the middle of July, and the sun is baking down on the people harvesting the wheat. So they're standing out in the wheat field and there's no shade. The sun is baking them in the heat. And they wish they could have a little bit of ice cream. That's ketzinat sheleg, the cool of snow, bechom katzir, in the heat of the harvest. So the issue is that here in Israel, if it rains in the middle of the harvest, it will destroy the crops. our crops can't handle rain in the summer, and that's why our seasons are divided such. You have the rainy season all winter long, and then you have the heat season, and the crops that were developed here in Israel matched the seasons. They were crops that needed rain throughout the winter and needed dryness throughout the summer. So the Navi is trying to describe a situation where people benefit from the cooling effect and yet do not get harmed by the cooling effect. And that's why the Navi draws the fine line. He says, Ke'av tal, like a cloud carrying dew. Meaning if there's a slight shower in the middle of the harvest, so then people get cooled down, but the slight rain isn't enough to harm the crops that are growing. So that's why he calls it avtal, a cloud of dew. Because if it would be any more serious, if it would be serious rain, that would actually be harmful. No one would enjoy that. So that's the metaphor here. Ke'avtal b'chom katzir. So God is saying the great redemption where the people will be returned to Israel will be like the pleasure of the shining sun after the rain, the sprinkling dew during the sun. It will be a change from what we're accustomed to. It will be a refreshing change. Kilifnei katzir ketam perach. Because before the time of the harvest, when the fruits have sprouted and grown and the flowers have finished blossoming, uvosa gomel yiye nitza, and the nates is the first showing of the fruit. When you have a fruit growing on a tree, so you have three stages. You have nates, where the fruit starts showing, and then you have boser, where the fruit is not ripe. It's like grapes are very, very sour before they ripen, and apples also. And then you have gomel, when the fruit is finally finished. So then the Navi is describing, uvoser gomel yiye nitza, the nates, meaning the slightly developed fruit will become boser, will become underdeveloped fruit, and then gomel. Finally, it will grow into a fully ripened fruit. So, again, the wording is uvoser gomel yiye nitza, meaning the nates, the starting of the fruit, will become boser gomel, will become unripe fruit, and then will become gomel, fully ripened fruit. V'charat hazalzalim b'mazmerot. This is a beautiful word. Zalzalim. What is zalzalim? I never noticed the importance of this word until I met Shmuel Avneri. He's the great researcher of Bialik. So Shmuel Avneri, his email is zalzal. So then he started talking to me about the word zalzal and how Bialik used this word. Now this is where the word zalzal appears. And now the question is, what does the word zalzal mean over here? So the simple understanding here is that zalzal are the roots. Yeah.
What is Bialik?
There was a man by the name of Chaim Nachman Bialik who researched the Hebrew language. He was an author, I would say even an artist, who lived in the turn of the century. Into the forming of the State of Israel, he wrote many things. He wrote beautiful things, and he tried to promote a lot of Jewish concepts within the circles of the authors of the time. He himself was not exactly, he didn't exactly lead a religious lifestyle. You see pictures of him learning Torah without a yarmulke, but the flip side of it is that he did try to ensure that they'd have a Friday night tish in Tel Aviv. He did initiate that people would come Friday night and sing songs of Shabbos. So he had that Jewish flair within him, which came to play in much of his writings and his behavior. He did a lot of chesed, and he also they have a letter he wrote on Chol HaMoed. When you read the letter, you see he wrote every word backwards because he didn't want to write on Chol HaMoed the way on Chol HaMoed you're not supposed to write. So if you're going to write, you do it with a change. So his change, again, as a poet, you see every word written backwards. The whole letter is written like backwards. So he had the Jewish flair to him. I don't think we can say that we would learn Torah from him, but there still was a lot of positive nuances to the way he wrote. He also wrote children's books, and he had a very nice approach to children as well. So he had many redeeming qualities, but again, redeeming isn't the right word because it doesn't absolve him from his other obligations. But whatever, he had a strong positive effect on the development of the arts here in Israel, because he himself had a positive inclination to Judaism, as opposed to other artists who tried to banish anything Jewish from the state, who thought that in order to develop the arts over here, you had to be like the nations. And he saw it exactly the opposite. No, look at our strengths, look at what's Jewish about the arts. So at any rate, Shmuel Avneri is the one who heads the museum in memory of Bialik. And when I met him once, so I noticed his email was with the word Zalzal. So he asked me, you know where it shows up? And we started discussing this verse in Isaiah. So before I met him, I never had an appreciation for this word. At any rate, coming back to the word, v'charata zalzalim
b'mazmerot. You didn't explain why that word was so important. Why doesn't just use the word shoresh?
Right. So that deserves a broader discussion. Coming back to zalzal. There's a question here whether zalzal is the root or the branch. We would assume he's speaking of cutting off the branches with the shears. Ve'etanetishot heisir heitaz. Ve'etanetishot heisir heitaz. And then he will also cut off the netishot. Again, using poetic form, the Navi describes the huge, thick branches that will be removed, completely severed. And the question here is, what's he talking about? He's saying the people of Israel will come back. The land of Israel will be resettled. The temple will be rebuilt, and the branches will be all cut down, the branches and the roots, before the ripening of the fruit. What's he talking about? So one understanding is he's talking about the great war that will have to take place before we complete our success. Before we finally have Jerusalem reinstated and the temple reinstated, there's going to be this great war called the War of Gog and Magog, where half the city will be exiled. And then Hashem will go out and fight all the nations. There'll be this great war where Hashem will banish the nations that came and attacked Jerusalem. So the Navi describes, before the blossoming of the fruit, there will be the cutting of the tree, the cutting of its roots, and the cutting of its major branches. Which one understanding is that's a reference to the idea of the nations that attack the people of Israel and attack Jerusalem will be cut off. Which again brings us to a very scary thought, that Israel will first return to Zion. There will be a return to the land of Israel. And then Israel will be attacked by the majority of the nations, or all the nations, and then will lose the war and be exiled, and then God will step forth and fight back against the nations. So people like to say that maybe the Holocaust was the war of Gog and Magog. The simple reading of the text and the Midrashim certainly doesn't seem to validate that. The Haftarah we read on Sukkot seems to say that the war of Gog and Magog is going to be after we get back to the land of Israel. We'd like to think we're done with it. Halvai.
This would imply that there'd be another exile.
Certainly. The Midrashim seem to say that we will first come back to Israel, and then we will have to be exiled and spend a long time without a leader. Just as the people of Israel wandered the desert, so too Israel will be exiled from the land of Israel and will wander the deserts. Yeah. Scary prophecy. What?
Could that return of not being as in the communist
time? Everything could be. Could be. We'd like to think it's behind us, right?
Does it have to play with the czar say that it has to play out this way?
So, that's a good question. We'd like to think that there are other ways to get to the end point, right? Maybe if we're super righteous, like Rashi suggests, there's a temple that could come down from heaven. So it certainly seems that if we're super righteous, then we will be able to have a better end. Yeah.
If there's scenarios like that, he says half or third part of Jerusalem will go, not all. So it's not the same like Holocaust when everybody goes.
I don't want to give my own interpretation here, but let's ask ourselves today the way we see Jerusalem. And again, remember, Jerusalem by Tanakh terminology is the old city.
Yeah.
Is it so far-fetched when he says half of Jerusalem will be exiled? I mean, today, unfortunately, if we had to interpret the prophecy, well, that's the Jewish inhabitants of Jerusalem. That would seem to be the interpretation of the prophecy.
Okay, anyway, so just about the biggest part remain here. And also we have Zechariah 14 and 4, that Mashiach will stay in the Harazitim. So must be somebody here. Okay, and also it's they will bring back all the Jews that they put. There are a lot of bunkers in Romania prepared for the Jew. That is just Romania. So it's a lot of things. But not all the Jews will go, and there will be not a Holocaust like was.
The Midrashim don't seem to say that. The commentaries seem to say that there's going to be a small percentage left when the story is done.
Seems to conflict with a lot of what we taught here in other passages. Fine, I like that about the whole